Awaying Media presents.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shahi sadri wa yisirli amri wa lahu uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Amma ba'd, fa inna khayra al-hadithi kitabullah wa khayra al-hadi hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa shara al-umuri muhtathatuha wa kulla muhtathatin bid'a wa kulla bid'atin dalala wa kulla dalalatin fi an-nar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we came together again for our second installment of the Tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat. Surah Al-Hujurat is the 49th chapter of the Quran. And according to some ulama, Surah Al-Hujurat is the beginning of what's called Al-Mufassal, which is a part of the Quran which the scholars and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the Salaf al-Salih, they used to focus a lot on memorizing this part of the Qur'an. From Surah al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter, to Surah al-Nas. Some ulama said from Surah al-Qaf to Surah al-Nas, Wallahu alam, you memorize the extra surah, you get extra rewards. So either opinion you take, alhamdulillah. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, لِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ عَشْرُ حَسَنَاتٍ. For every letter that you read from the Qur'an, inshallah ta'ala will be 10 rewards. To understand how this Qur'an and how this sitting together should impact our life, the relationship that the Qur'an should have on our life as Muslims, the only thing we have to do is look outside right now and see it's raining. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, He referred to Al-Matar, rain, as rahmah, as a mercy. And also in the Qur'an, He subhanahu wa ta'ala, He referred to the Qur'an as rahmah, as mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using one word to describe rain and one word to describe the Qur'an, which is mercy. And the ulama, they discussed this issue. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do this? And they said, well, what's the job of rain? The job of rain is to bring a dead land to life. The job of rain is to refresh the land, to cause it to grow, to cause it to become plentiful and fruitful to those around it. And the Qur'an, its job is to give life to dead hearts. Just as the hearts become barren and desolate and dry, the same as land, thus the life of the heart is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Qur'an should have this impact, that it will affect us spiritually and make us alive, and also benefit those who are around us. We continue today on the Tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat. And we said that the topic of Surah Al-Hujurat is a very noble topic. And that is behavior. And we said, as we talked about last week, verses 1 through 5 are dealing with the specific type of behavior, and verses 6 through almost the end of the chapter are dealing with another type of behavior. And we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided behavior into al-khaf, a specific, and al-am, a behavior which is general. Verses 1 through 5 are specific, in that this is the behavior that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us. And we discussed last week how we are not supposed to put anything in front of Allah, or anything in front of His Messenger. As Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يديه الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم. O you who believe, do not put yourselves forwards in the presence of Allah and His Messenger. And the ulama said, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say بين يديه الله? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the presence of Allah and His Messenger? Because the best type of ibadah is what? أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. That you worship Allah as though you see Him. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the first verse of this chapter, بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, in the presence of Allah and His Messenger, you will feel the greatness of Allah, as though you are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we said also that these first five verses teach us how to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. O you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we talked about the qualities of those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested their hearts for taqwa. And these are those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah and His Messenger. And then we talked about, of course, those tribes who came to the Prophet ﷺ, and they were calling him and yelling at him, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with them differently than He dealt with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah. InshaAllah, today we continue from the 6th to the 7th verse only. And the 6th and the 7th verse, now the topic changes. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to start to talk about general behavior. How the Muslim behaves in general. How the Muslim society should behave in general. And as one contemporary mufassiri said, this surah is building the Muslim society. First of all, building the Muslim society that nothing comes in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, and this is what we'll talk about today inshaAllah, that this society is built on making sure that information is true. Making sure that what we say, what we pass on, what we spread, nowadays what you send because of email, what you fax, what you page, is true. The third, and inshaAllah we'll talk about this next week, is the responsibility of this Muslim nation in the times of fitna, in the times of trials. The fourth, that the society is built on rules and values which form the essence of a pristine existence. And the last one, that this surah discusses the relationship of humanity. لِتَعَرَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. So today we want to talk about two things in discussing the general behaviors. We talked about the behaviors with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger and the Sharia, and now behavior with others. And if the Muslim Ummah has any weak link in the chain, we can say this is where it is. How we deal with others. How we deal with our family members. How we deal with our non-Muslim relatives. Many brothers and sisters say, well, my parents are non-Muslim, khalas, let them go to hell. Is this the correct understanding that Islam gave us? How we deal with our co-workers? How we deal with our fellow students on campus? How do we deal with our parents? How do we deal with our neighbors? How do we deal as a community with each other? And isn't it interesting that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the pillars of faith and the famous hadith of Jibreel, when Jibreel, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yahamakallah, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, tell me about Islam. Then the Prophet told him about Islam. قَالَ صَدَقْتَ. Then he told the Prophet, he spoke the truth. Then he said, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِمَانِ. Tell me about Iman, tell me about faith. The Prophet said, تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَتُؤْمِنَ بِقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. قَالَ صَدَقْتَ. Then the Prophet ﷺ told Jibreel that faith is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the Day of Judgment, and to believe in Al-Qadr. You find no clear reference to behavior here. You find definitely an inference to behavior for somebody who understands the Shahadatain very well. They know that it's linked to behavior. So, quite obviously at the beginning of the surah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about how we deal with Allah and deal with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it makes logical sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe. Because according to the pillars of Iman, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to talk about now deals directly with our Iman, our Tawheed in Allah, our Ittiba' of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our belief in the oneness of Allah, and are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now we take an important lesson that the surah is going to shift and talk about our behavior with others. So maybe we would think that Allah is going to say, Ya ayyuhan nasu, O humanity. Because what He's talking about, how we deal with each other. But even though, or even then, that He's talking about dealing with other people, and you don't find this mentioned in the pillars of faith, still He began this relationship with others with what statement? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who believe. Why? I'm going to throw it out to you. Why do you think? I mean, we're going to have some open discussion. No problem. Why? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about dealing with people. He's not talking about Allah, His Messenger. But still He said, O you who believe. Why? He's trying to tell us here. Who wants to try and guess? We have some door prizes on behalf of one of our brothers. Yes, Habib.
Maintaining the relationship, I guess, with one another is part of
faith. Okay, he said, because maintaining good relationship with one another is part of faith. Yes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you the importance of it by beginning it by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who believe. And as I mentioned, this call is going to be brought out 5 times in this surah. O you who believe, O you who believe, O you who believe, O you who believe, O you who believe. Out of 18 verses, 5 of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, O you who believe. Out of 18 verses, 25 times, Allah is going to say, Allah. There's a reason for all of this in the surah. So now we shift from talking about our direct relationship to Allah and His Prophet and His deen, which is a specific type of relationship, to a general guidelines that if we here in this community can practice them in our homes, in our relationships as brothers and sisters, and in the masajid, will bring about a great reform, inshallah, of the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So 2 important things we want to talk about. The first is confirming and the spreading of information amongst others. That information, when it comes to us, it should be confirmed before we spread it. The second is that we're going to talk about the greatest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. What is the greatest blessing of Allah? And before I even say what it is, I want you to say to your own self now, what is the greatest blessing of Allah for you? Don't say it. Keep it to yourself, man. Allah said, race to do good. But say to yourself, sister, say to yourself, brother, what is the best blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us? So we begin now with the 6th verse. The 6th verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu. فَتَبَيِّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe. Actually, as I said before, the correct translation of this is not O you who believe, but O you who are professing belief. Because the form of this call is present, future, and past. O you up until this day and time who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers, His books, and His angels, and so forth. If there comes to you a fasiq, fasiq, you know, it means something that came out of something unnaturally. That's why in the Arabic language they used to say fasaqa, the seed of the date, fasaqa. It came out of the date, or actually the date, excuse me, came out of its area unnaturally. Not normally. So somebody that's a fasiq, and is it interesting that al-fitra is normality? And fitra is Islam. So somebody that's a fasiq is not normal. They have psychosis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a fasiq comes to you, fasiq means somebody that rebelled against the teachings of Islam, with some information. And another qira'ah, fathbitu. Then confirm this information, okay, Lest you harm some people out of ignorance and you regret it later on. Some information is brought to us. Before we spread it, we should make sure that this information is true. Perhaps if we don't, we might harm other people. I bet everybody in the room this happened to us once in our life. We spread some news, true, and we regretted it. The scholars of Tafsir, they said that this verse was sent down because of a specific situation that happened in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Al-Harith, there was a man named Al-Harith, H-A-R-I-T-H. Al-Harith, he was the chief of a tribe called Al-Mustaraq. And Banu Mustaraq, they were conquered by the Prophet ﷺ and his companions around the 5th or 6th year after the migration of the Prophet to Medina. Al-Harith, he did not like the Prophet ﷺ and he did not like what was going on in Medina. So he decided to attack Medina. Some historians said because the Quraysh were pushing him to do so. Some of the historians said because he felt like I need to take him out on his own. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent one of his companions, he heard about it, and he sent one of his companions to ascertain if this was the truth. He found out that indeed Al-Harith was preparing a big army to attack Medina. He came back, he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately gathered together an army and he went to meet Al-Harith radiyallahu anhu. Notice I said Al-Harith, Al-Harith radiyallahu anhu. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went with his army and Al-Harith, he left, and suddenly when his people heard that the Prophet was coming, they left him alone. Was completely deserted by his army. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his army came closer, and the people of the tribe of Al-Mustaraq, they said, let's fight them anyways. With or without soldiers, we're going to fight these people. And they begin to shoot arrows at the Prophet's companions, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet ﷺ immediately attacked them. And alhamdulillah, bi fadlillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they easily disposed of these people. And Al-Harith was captured, along with his daughter, Juwayriya bint Al-Harith, radiyallahu anha. They were captured, and the daughter of Al-Harith, she was a princess, her name was Juwayriya. She became a part of the spoils of war. And she didn't like it. She said, I got it going on. I'm a princess. There's no way I'm going to be somebody's spoil of war. So she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, Ya Rasulullah, O Muhammad, free me. I'm a princess. I shouldn't have to be like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, can I offer you something better than that? She said, yes. He said, I free you and I marry you. She said yes. Another narration says, Al-Harith, the father of Juwayriya, he came to the Prophet and he said, please, take care of my daughter. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, I will free her and if you like, I will marry her. He accepted and they were married. She became Juwayriya, Umna Juwayriya bint Al-Harith, the mother, our mother from Ummahatul Mu'mineen, Juwayriya, the daughter of Al-Harith. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they had a lot of captives of war. And if you look at all of the marriages of the Prophet ﷺ, you'll find always some barakah happens, some blessing happens. SubhanAllah, how many of us, our marriages are like this? Sometimes the opposite, as a young Muslim you feel like, you know, my parents, in order for me to get married, I have to do the rum shaker or something in front of everyone. Which is haram, or I have to have mixing, or I have to do something that will disobey Allah. But here we see the marriage of Rasulullah ﷺ always brings about khairat. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So we should think in this way, that instead of our family members giving da'wah to us and making our marriage against the principles of Islam, we should be like Rasulullah ﷺ and Juwayriya and make our marriage a da'wah to people. I remember one time some people invited me to a marriage and I said, mashallah, maybe they heard the story, you know. And I went there and I gave a speech and suddenly, boom, the DJ. I said, nobody told me about this part. But I tell him, don't mix truth and falsehood. And I quickly hit the emergency exit. So, subhanAllah, we take a quick lesson here, how the marriage should be used to call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we feel pressure as families to do something wrong. Do something right. Inshallah, khair will come. So he married Juwayriyah bint al-Harith, and the companions had around a few thousand prisoners of war. And immediately they freed all of the prisoners of war from Banu Mustalik. Why? Because they said, how could we possibly have as captives the relatives of Rasulullah? So they freed them. Then al-Harith, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet immediately, he called him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he accepted. One of the reasons he accepted is because how the Prophet treated his daughter. His behavior with her. Then the Prophet ﷺ, Al-Harith began to ask him about Islam. This was the Prophet's father-in-law now, you know. And he said, what I will do, I will go back to my people that will call them to Allah. And since I'm the chief, they will accept, readily accept, inshaAllah. And then we will take the zakat when it's time and we'll give the zakat to you, Ya Rasul. Let me go. The Prophet ﷺ trusted him and he went. And after some time, Al-Harith, his people, Banu Mustalik, became Muslim. And he collected the zakat from them. But nobody came. He was worried. And he said, maybe Allah and His Messenger are displeased with me. SubhanAllah, here's a new Muslim. He's been Muslim for a very little time. And already he makes this muhasibah with himself. Already he makes this account of himself that maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe Allah is displeased with me. How many of us throughout the entire day, throughout the entire week, throughout the entire month, throughout the entire year, not once we said to ourselves, am I doing something wrong? When we see the tests which are happening to the nation of the Prophet ﷺ, we should ask ourselves also, what are we not doing? What is the ingredient or the variable factor here? The Prophet ﷺ, he sent Walid ibn Uqba. Walid ibn Uqba was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sent him to get the zakah from Banu Mustalik. Al-Walid, he left, and on the way he got scared. I don't know why. He got scared and he never went to Banu Mustalik. And he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, these people threatened to kill me. I have no zakah because these people are, I think they're going to kill me. And I believe they're coming to attack you. The Prophet ﷺ and his companions wanted to go and meet the assumed army of Banu Mustalik with full vengeance. Prophet ﷺ was like, wait. Then guess who came to Medina? Al-Harith. Al-Harith comes to Medina and people are looking at him like, what's up, man? You got a problem? Al-Harith is like, what's wrong with these people? And they're looking at him like, yeah, so. Al-Harith, he came and some people were telling to him, why are you holding back the zakat from the Messenger of Allah? Why do you want to kill the Messenger of Allah? He said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is the opposite of my intention. I have the zakat with me now. I brought the zakat myself. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet, you know, asked him, what's going on? Is this true? Are you planning to hold back the zakat and you want to kill us and fight us? We sent the guy to you and you guys scared off the guy. Al-Harith said, wallahi, nobody came. I was worried. That's why I came here. SubhanAllah, this is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the believer engages the obedience to Allah. He could have stayed in Banu Mustalik and said, inshallah, we'll come. But we find subhanAllah, Al-Harith, he goes on his own. Then they brought Al-Walid radiallahu anhu, and he told him, I was scared. I didn't go. Then Allah sent the verse, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة وتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. Then Allah sent the verse, O you who believe, if a fasiq comes to you, rebellious person comes to you with some information, confirm this information, lest you harm other people in your ignorance and you regret it later on. We want to take some practical lessons from this verse, which we can apply today, and I'm sure you are saying there are millions of them. In fact, maybe an infinite number of lessons. This is one of the miracles of the Qur'an, that the scholars said that the Qur'an, through every age, although the Qur'an is, of course, the Qur'an, it will never be changed. But the human condition changes and the Qur'an will always be applicable to any human condition. So as it was applicable 1400 and something years ago, it is as applicable today. And that's why we said, Alhamdulillah, that we're the nation of the Qur'an, that we are not left in misguidance. The first lesson is a very obvious lesson, that no one should rush to judgment or decisions before they confirm information. That's why we have the very famous statement in Arabic, it's quoted as a hadith, although it's not a hadith, where Al-ajjalatu min ash-shaytan, to rush is from the devil, and to chill, so I can translate it to some of the youth, you can translate that in English, as I mentioned before, but to be patient and control yourself is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't spread information as soon as we get it. And nowhere is this more evident than in emails. Whereas Muslims, and we already mentioned the pseudo janitor in the Prophet's masjid, Mr. Ahmed, who hasn't been seen in almost 800 years, but he has a laptop and a satellite connection. He sent the email directly from the masjid that night without a modem. How when we receive information online, we should not just forward it to as many Muslims as we can. I remember somebody sent me one time an email about salah. And so many punishments of salah. Although ulama said you can use targhib and hadith da'ifa, this is opinion of some ulama like Ibn Hajar. But these narrations of the Prophet they were quoting were not even da'if, they were fabricated, they were mawdu'. And they were sending them to everyone in the world. And some of these hadith, wallahi, if you read it, you would lose hope in Allah. You would say to yourself, man, I'm finished. Chapter 11 now. And alhamdulillah, the chapter 11 for the Muslim is tawbah. If you want to cancel your debts with Allah and your mistakes with Allah, repent to Allah. You will be relieved of your debts. So people were sending all kinds of nonsense to me. Then I would respond back and say, dear brothers and sisters, this hadith is found here. It's not even da'if. It's al-da'af min al-da'if. And this and that. Then they would write me back. Oh, how come you had to spoil our fun? How come you had to do this? How come that? Because فَتَبَيَّنُ. We have to make sure. In our daily lives, when one of our kids comes to us and says, I saw my big brother do this. Or I saw my little sister do this. Big brother, big sister, little sister comes home, boom! No verification of information. And I was a little brother. Sorry for all you little brothers. And we used to do this on purpose. Even though it was we who did the wrong thing. It was the opposite. With husbands and wives. We should make sure that what we even hear sometimes from each other is the correct thing. Sometimes we hear each other wrong. The other day I was sitting with someone and he said, you know when your hair grows out you look younger. I thought he said ugly. I said, what did you say? Did you say ugly? He said, no, I said younger. فَتَبَيِّنُ. In the masajid, when the khatib says something, many times I give a khutbah or speech in places, and people come to me and say, you said this is the opposite of what I said. Verification of information. If that person didn't come and ask me, and it was something that they heard that was wrong, they will call their friends. You know what I heard this brother say today in the minbar? And it will spread. So a simple act a verification of information can save a lot of trouble. And the Shaykh, he mentioned, Shaykh Sawaf, Hafizullah, he mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically made this action of verification of information. Why? To save the nation of Muhammad from fitna. To save us as people from trials and tribulations. The second lesson we can take from this verse is the comprehensive nature of sabr. Many times we only think of sabr, patience, as something internal. But here, when you hear some news, and sometimes we have some people, when they hear news, they are like a walking AP or Reuters. They have to tell as many people as they can. But here, patience. Control yourself. Wait. And a good example is Ramadan. One person goes into a chat room, and they find someone says, the moon was sighted. Immediately they, if they don't have DSL, but everyone here has DSL, because we're in the valley, mashallah. Became now qaida fiqhiya, yani the valley of DSL. And they start to call their friends. The moon, Allahu Akbar, the moon was sighted. And it spread. Then lo and behold, the moon wasn't sighted. Somebody saw Venus. Thought it was the moon. Who's responsible for this? He's the one who spread it. Because فَتَبَيَّنُ, you have to make sure. So patience not only applies to a spiritual aspect of our life, but even in our behavioral aspect, how we deal with people, we should be patient. I remember one time I was in an airport, and this brother was supposed to pick me up, and he was late. Which is nothing surprising. And as I was waiting, I said, man, this brother, he's not coming. But then I started to have like a bad feeling in myself. Then subhanAllah, two brothers came in two different cars. If I wasn't patient, if I didn't control myself, I would have maybe lost my cool and lost my temper. The third is the advantages of being with those who speak the truth. Because as the ulama said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the fasiq, the rebellious one, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, the one who rebels against Allah, ensure that what they said is the truth. But about the truthful person, they said, you don't have to ensure it. Allah only said for the fasiq, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقْ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. He didn't say, إِن جَاءَكُمْ صَادِقْ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Only the fasiq. So subhanAllah, as a young Muslim, who's in college, or in high school, or as a Muslim at my workplace, no matter if my friends are Muslim or non-Muslim, I have to ensure that my friends speak the truth. Why? If I have truthful friends, I don't have to worry about what's going in and out of my ears. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show you the importance of having people around you who speak the truth, at-taqwa is one of the greatest things anyone can have. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ja'alna muttaqeen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Did he leave it at that? وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah. Maybe someone says, خلاص, that's all I need. Be mindful of Allah. But not only this, be mindful of Allah, and be with who? Be with the truthful people. Do my friends, do the people around me, do the people I talk to, are they truthful people, or are they deceitful people? What is truthfulness? Because as Sheikh Sawaf, another great scholar who did a great tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat from Iraq, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect it and protect the people of that country, our brothers inshaAllah, as well as other people there. By the way, there are a lot of non-Muslims who live in Iraq. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of the humanity there inshaAllah ta'ala. He said indirectly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us something very important. This is to be truthful. To be truthful. Because not only does this verse address the listener, but it also addresses the one who wants to talk. Because now you know, if I say something that's not true, I'm putting myself in this category of fasiq. So not only does the verse address the one who people are coming to you, but also when you go to people, when you talk in general, to make sure you speak the truth. So what is truthfulness? A sidq in Islam. In English, S-A-D-I-Q. Sidq. What is truthfulness? The ulama, Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, he mentioned that a sidq has a few different types. And it's important for us to know these and memorize them, or at least write them down, so we can, you know, perform surgery on our life. We can go for the examination, and we can find out where's the weak link in the chain. And we can try to do some spring cleaning. Now it's spring, mashallah. So we can clean up ourselves. The first one he said is as-sidq fil qawl. To be truthful in your speech. To be truthful in how you talk. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described hypocrites in two or three different ahadith. And both times, one of them he said, آيَةُ مُنَافِقْ ثَلَاثَ, as related by Imam Muslim, that the sign of a hypocrite is three. إِذَا حَدَثَ كَذِبْ, when they speak, they lie. In another authentic hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has these four qualities, or even one of these four qualities, or two of these qualities, or three of these qualities, or even one of them, let them know that they have a quality of hypocrisy, a nifaq. And one of them was lying. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi said, if you look in the Quran, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned hypocrites, he ended those verses by describing them as liars. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ مَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَارِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, from amongst some people are those who say we believe, but they do not believe. They seek to deceive Allah and His Messenger. They seek to deceive Allah, to deceive Allah and those who believe, excuse me. But they only deceive themselves. And their disease is the heart. And Allah has allowed this disease to increase. And upon them is a great punishment because they are liars. Go in the Quran, any place usually where Allah talks about hypocrites, He mentions lying. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ وَلَمْ لَمُ التَّوْكِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Allah said, when the hypocrites come to you, O Muhammad, and they say, we bear witness that you are the Messenger of Allah. Allah knows you are His Messenger, and Allah bears witness that indeed, wallahi, these hypocrites are liars. So in my speech, when I talk, I should make sure that what I say is the truth. The second is a sidq fi niyyah wal irada. To be truthful in my intention, in my desire towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is al-ikhlas. But I make sure that I'm truthful in my intention, and this truthfulness is brought out by being sincere. That I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And we talked about al-riya before. The second is a sidq fil amal. To be truthful in my actions. And the scholar said, this means that what's inside is mimicked by what's on the outside. That the outside doesn't differ from what's in the inside. Now maybe some people, they will say, okay, well what's on the inside is bad, so on the outside I can be bad. That's not what that means. Make what's on the inside good. If not, you'll be a fasiq. And make the outside good. The last one is as-sidq fi maqamat al-deen. Excuse me, there's two more. The next one is to have truthfulness in my azm, my determination. And this means, for example, if someone says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me this amount of money, inshallah one day I'm going to spend it. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that to you, do it. This is your sidq, your truthfulness in this, and your determination. The last one is to be truthful with regards to those things which are in my heart. The foundations of Islam. Like my love. That in my truthfulness I love no one more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my hope. That in truth I hope for no one more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my fear. That I don't fear anyone the way in which I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how can we become truthful people? After we mention the different types of the truth, how can we become truthful people? There are a few ones. The first one is to realize that truthfulness is a quality that nobody can survive without. Whether the ruler, whether the judge, whether the king, whether the husband, whether the wife, whether the kids, whether the pet. Nobody can live without truth. As they say, truth will set you free. It's a quality which everyone has to have. And as I mentioned last Friday in the khutbah, when the scholars, non-Muslim as well as Muslim scholars of management and leadership came together, they said there are around 80 qualities of a leader. The number one most important quality is al-istiqamah, to be straight. The second one is al-sidq, to be truthful. Employees do not trust an employer that lies to them. Subjects of a country do not trust a country that lies to them. Nobody feels comfortable with someone when they know they're shady. And we're not talking about slim. So the second quality is truthfulness. And here's something amazing on the side note. That out of all of these 80 qualities, every single one of them is possessed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, he had some qualities which have not even been studied yet. Like that he has a kunya, Abu something. This one hasn't been studied. But those qualities that they discovered, we're talking about people in Columbia University. Rasulullah ﷺ, he possesses every single quality, noble quality, which a leader he needs. The second is to realize that as-sidq, that one of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truthfulness. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who is more truthful in speech than Allah? To realize that as-sidq, the attribute of truth, was given to the prophets. وَاذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Remember the story of Ibrahim or Muhammad. Remind the people of the story of Ibrahim, or mention the story of Ibrahim. Indeed, he was truthful, a prophet. So subhanAllah, as a person, when I realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed himself with a quality of truthfulness, and that the prophets have attributed themselves, by Allah has attributed them, excuse me, that Allah has attributed the prophets with a quality of truthfulness, and the book of Allah has been attributed with the quality of truthfulness, shouldn't I want to be truthful? That this quality has reached this high status. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalahu, He took this attribute of truth. Shouldn't I also feel then that this is a noble quality? For example, when you see young Muslim brothers and sisters, and they see their favorite rap star on TV, and this rap star can be wearing clothes which are indicative of somebody from death row. And they even have one called death row. Then this young Muslim brother or sister says, you know, that's cool, man. I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Ja Rule. I want to be like J-Lo. And then they go and they dress like these people. Why? Because they think that those qualities are great. In corporate America, when we see successful people who are liars, like Kenneth Lay, Hadahullah, and we say, you know, I need to be like him. Yeah, I need to be successful. I need to talk like that now. I need to be successful, you know what I'm saying? Who is greater than Allah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed Himself with truthfulness. Shouldn't we want to be truthful? The prophets of Allah, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called His friend, has attributed Himself with truthfulness. so what about us? SubhanAllah, isn't it more noble to emulate the attributes of the prophets than it is to emulate the attributes of those who are living the absolute opposite of prophets? The next is that truthfulness leads where? See, when you do something, you want to find out where it leads, where it's going to take you. So where does truthfulness lead us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in an authentic hadith, إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet said that indeed truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise. So subhanAllah, by speaking the truth and protecting myself from lying, I can feel that now I'm on the way to Jannah. And this is one of the signs. People say, how can I know if I'm from the people of paradise? And we always go for the spooky jukey, right? You know, that something will appear, or I'll have some dream, or it's great. If you have that, mashallah, you're lucky. These are like, you know, added extra bonus packages. But the real way to know is if you are sincerely living according to these type of teachings. That truthfulness, it leads to paradise. The third is to understand the great punishment, which involves lying. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the night of Isra wal Mi'raj, he says, as related by Imam al-Bukhari, we proceeded and came to a man lying on his back and another one standing near him with a hooked iron in his hand. And approaching him from one side, he ripped open his mouth as far as his neck and ripped open his nostril as far as his neck, and to open his eye as far as his neck. And then he turned to his other side and did the same on that side. By that time the first side of the man's face had recovered from its injuries, and the tormentor returned to the first side and repeated what he had done to it the first time. He said, this will continue until the day of resurrection. The Prophet said, I said to my companions, Man ha'ula? Who are these people? And they said, the person whose mouth and nostril and eye were ripped open to the neck was one who went out of his house spreading lies and circulated these lies everywhere. The fourth is that I should realize, as a Muslim now, with all of the trials and tribulations that we're facing, that one of the keys to our salvation is the truth. To be truthful. We go to a hadith which is authentic, related by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said there were three people who were walking together and suddenly it began to rain. And they went into a cave to escape the rain, and suddenly a large rock fell in front of the cave. And they began to look at each other and they thought, all hope is lost. Indeed, there's nothing we can do, we're doomed. And suddenly one of them said to the other, Wallahi, he said to them, La yunjikum illa sidq. The only thing that's going to save you is the truth. And what they meant here by the truth is the entire comprehensive nature of truth that we talked about. All five. Truth in your speech, truth in your actions, truth in your determination, truth in standing on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this is going to save you. So then the narrator says, Allah, the Prophet says that they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِمَا يَعْمَلُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ صَدَقَ فِيهِ. They made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about what they had done, and they were truthful in it. Then the first one, he said, oh Allah, I had my parents, and one day I went to milk and I came back late, and my parents went to sleep without having any dinner or food, and I stood at the bed of my parents. This is the importance of respect to your parents, young people. SubhanAllah, our parents are asking us to stand up and clean the kitchen, stand up and clean the toilet, stand up and stay home, stand up and listen to us. Here's this guy, he's going to stand all night holding milk for his parents. Yeah, it's that deep, young brothers and sisters. So they said, I stood the entire night waiting to serve them and my own children didn't eat. And my own children were crying at my knees to feed them, and instead I waited till the morning. And then he said, oh Allah, if I did this truthfully for your sake, please move this stone, and the stone moved. The second one was a man who, he was in love with a woman, he was so infatuated with her that he tricked her into committing fornication with him. And he says, at the moment of doing it, she told me, Ya Abdullah, taqilah. O servant of Allah, fear Allah. Ya Abdullah, taqilah. O servant of Allah, fear Allah. And he said, I stopped, I didn't do it, and even I let her keep the money that I tried to trick her with. Oh Allah, if I did this for your sake, and we take the lesson here that even a sinner's dua will be answered. Sometimes we feel, I did the worst sin, Allah will never... Look at this guy, he's about to commit zina. And in the hadith he says, I was at the moment of doing it. He said, oh Allah, if I did this for your sake, with sidq, with ikhlas, please remove this rock. And it moved. The last one was a businessman, and he was given a trust of some person, and he kept it for him, and it began to blossom, and barakah was there. And then the guy, he came back and he said, hey, those things I left you, pay me. And he gave him all of it. He said, but this is more than I left you with. He said, yeah, but I invested it, and this happened, this happened. This stuff sounds familiar, doesn't it? I invested it, and this happened, and that happened, I'm going to give it all back to you. He said, oh Allah, if I did this only for your sake, please remove the stone. Then subhanAllah, the stone, it moved completely out of the way and they left. What's the lesson? Look at the current situation of the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the current situation in our homes. Look at the current situation in our own lives. Look at the current situation with our families. Look at the current situation of the Muslim community. Look at the current situation of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we are facing difficult times. But difficult times can be removed with truthfulness. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved the stone out of the way, He can move the stone from your life out of your way. The stone of your bad kid, the stone of your bad husband or wife, the stone of problems in the masajid. It can be removed with sincerity. And when we look at sincerity in this comprehensive way, we say, subhanAllah, the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sleeping. For our young brothers and sisters, one of the most important ways that we can lose the quality of being truthful is at school. By rumors, by information, and so forth. Bragging. I mean, listen to hip-hop music. Don't, I'm not saying listen to hip-hop music. This is not fellow Amr, I mean, this is, it's not even mustahab, just an amthal. All they are doing is lying. I'm the baddest around. I'm so fine, the birds cry when I walk down the street. I'm so handsome that, you know, so on and so forth. So somebody that's involved in bad hip-hop, because we have some Muslim brothers and sisters who are, alhamdulillah, trying to do Islamically correct hip-hop with no music and so forth. Yes, I went that way. You know, the bad hip-hop is nothing but lies. And when you listen to that, you get into that mode of, yeah, I am the baddest around. But the Muslim doesn't believe he's the baddest around because we say, Allahu Akbar. No one is greater or mightier than Allah. Bad, by the way, means good for those of you who are not up on your slang dictionary. The same thing in our jobs. Especially nowadays when everybody's losing their job. Rumors is flying. Another important lesson we take is as a community with the news. We're talking about the media. The necessary illusion process which goes on in society. That as soon as we hear something, we shouldn't run and tell everyone about it. We should make sure it's true. Because we see those people who speak the truth in the media, what happens to them? Like the ex-employee of NBC. They lose their jobs. Whether it's the quote-unquote Islamic press or the non-Islamic press or whatever, make sure you confirm information before you spread it. When we claim to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to be truthful. We cannot say that we follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we don't. When we say that we follow the Quran and we don't follow it, we are not speaking the truth. When we say that Allah is Akbar and we don't believe it and we don't profess it in our actions, that's why Ibn Qudamah, he said in his book on Salah, he said when somebody raises their hands and says Allahu Akbar, he said if they don't believe that, it's being told to them you're a liar, you're a liar. So when you pray, you are saying Allahu Akbar, I'm saying Allahu Akbar. We better make sure that in our heart there's nothing greater than Allah. The sixth important point is that how the Islamic sciences created an environment of truth. If you look at the sciences in our religion, for example, the science of hadith. The greatest aspect of the science of hadith is what? To ensure that hadith is what? It's truthful. When we talk about the riwayat of tajweed, when someone studies them earnestly and truly studies them from a sheikh, they make sure that their recitation is truthfully according to that riwayah. When we look at the story of the Imam al-Bukhari, when he came to the city to take a hadith from someone, and he found that man, he was doing like this to the cow, and he had nothing in his hand. And Imam Bukhari, he left. And they said to him, why are you leaving? He said, somebody had lies to the animals, what about the people? So subhanAllah, how our noble system of education creates truthful people. Focusing on the truth. And because of this, the scholars of hadith, if they found in an isnad a narrator that was not known, they would not accept this hadith. Why? Not because of him not being known, but because his character was unknown. Maybe he was truthful, maybe he wasn't. Since we don't know, we're going to leave it. Imam al-Shafi'i, if you follow the Shafi'i madhab, Imam al-Shafi'i, he took the opinion that a fasiq cannot be a wali in a marriage. That somebody who's known for lying and transgressing, they cannot marry a woman. Because why? They can't be trusted. Are there times that somebody can lie? Let's balance it a little bit. There are. Oh, I'll write it down. Careful, man. Don't get too happy. According to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, there are three times. One, of course, is in a time of war. Somebody's going to cut your head off, you can say, I'm not Muslim. The second is to try to make a situation better between people. I remember when I was in college, in MSA, we used to have these brothers, they would be, you know, having disputes. So we would go to one of them and say, hey, you know what, the other day you'd be talking, and you'd say, yeah, the other day I was eating dinner with that guy that he doesn't like, right? And say, you know that guy that doesn't like you? You wouldn't say that he doesn't like you, but that guy, you know what he told me? He said, wallahi, he loves you for the sake of Allah. Really? Yeah, he said he loves you for the sake of Allah. Are you sure? Yeah, he was praising you, man. He was talking all kind of good stuff about you. Come on. Akhi, straight up. And then he would go to that guy that he was having problems with. Assalamu alaikum, akhi. Wallahi, I love you too for the sake of Allah. That guy was like, huh? Oh, I love you also. And alhamdulillah, we fixed a lot of problems like this. That brothers would have problems with each other, and you would do this according to the hadith of the Prophet. And what can we take here as an interesting point is the importance of the oneness of the ummah. That even if lying, and we don't mean getting carried away with it, please, but lying, for example, in this issue will bring the hearts of the Muslims together and keep them united, it's jaiz in Islam. SubhanAllah, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet are putting this importance on the wahadaniyah, the unity of the Muslims. The second, or the last one, is a husband with his wife. And a wife with her husband. Don't worry, you'll be alright. Sister's like, huh? Welcome home. When and how doesn't mean that, you know, you go home and say, where you've been? And you say, well, I've been here, I've done that. Or, you know, why is there $1,300 missing from the account? I have no idea. Doesn't mean that. But what it means is if there's times where you feel there might be problems with each other, or that something can create a divorce, God forbid, in order to bring back the family, you can do that. Again, the islah of the Muslims became so important, and the islah of a family that according to this authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, you can lie to fix it. These are the only three times. The last point I want to make tonight, I know it's kind of dry, everybody looks down, where are the stories? That if the acceptance of one's character and truthfulness is applied to their speech, meaning if we look at someone's character and the truthfulness of their character and the authenticity of their character is applied to their speech, then why is it that we have trouble accepting the speech of Allah? And why is it that we have trouble accepting the speech of Rasulullah? Because nobody can have greater character than Allah. He's perfect. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. And nobody has better character than the Prophet ﷺ. So as a sister, I don't wear hijab. And I read in the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me to wear hijab. And I say, but you know, I don't know. I have my own habit, you know, I came from this, that, right? Who is more truthful than Allah, sister? As a brother, when I see the Prophet ﷺ was encouraging us to be good to our wives, and humble to our wives, and loving to our wives. But I say, well, you know, you got to deal with women like this. Who's better in speech than the Prophet ﷺ? And this is the greatest sign of our belief in truth. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who's better in speech than Allah? Who's more truthful than Allah? So when I read something in the Qur'an, some order in the Qur'an, and my nafs say, I don't know, check on it. Why? Because he's the most truthful. لا يخلف الميعاد. When I find something in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I know this is the correct understanding of it according to the scholars, let me practice it. Because there's none more truthful than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best example of this happened in the time of Isra al-Mi'raj, the night where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended above the seven heavens. And many of us, we might say, well, that just logically doesn't make sense. I don't understand that. Shut your mouth, man. And humble yourself. This doesn't sound right to me. You know, subhanAllah, this is something which only occurred the last 100 years. That a verse of Quran can be said and a Muslim will say, this doesn't sound right to me now. Why? Because we have become secular humanists, whether we know it or not. Or the Prophet ﷺ has said something, we say, well, rationally, you know, well, you do a lot of things that are irrational. Analyze your life, and you're going to find an abundant amount of irrationalities in your own existence. But could there be any more thing irrational than this? The Prophet ﷺ went above the seven heavens in an age when there was no Voyager nor space shuttle. He came back, and he came to Mecca, and he told the people what he saw. And immediately the Quraysh began to spread it. And they began to make fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were saying, did you hear what he said now? And many people who were Muslim rejected Islam. They said, hey, wait a minute. That, everything else was good before that. Can't read and got a book. I can believe that. They went to Mike. But above the seven heavens? Can you guys hear me? But that he went above the seven heavens? How is that possible? So many people rejected the Prophet ﷺ. And they came to Abu Bakr. And they came to him. And they said to him, have you heard what this person he says? يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ هَذِهِ لَيْلَ بَيْتَ الْمُقَدِّسِ. He said that in this night, or he assumes that in this night, he went to the mosque in Palestine. And he prayed there. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, if you apply all the senses of rationality to this, if anyone could have said this doesn't make any sense, it would have been Abu Bakr. Because at that time there was no scientific advantages. Thank you. Exactly. I feel sorry you're doing this for me.
Shame when these young guys do it. But they're doing something else.
I'm glad I see all these young brothers in the audience. Sometimes that's why I go slang style, to keep them here. And ask Allah to reward these young brothers and sisters, man. And to, instead of burning DMX at night, soon they're going to be burning Sheikh Sudeis. Ameen. Say ameen, man. They're like, I don't say ameen. Say ameen. I'm talking about the young guys. They're doubting, should they say ameen. Say ameen, you know. So if anyone could have rationally doubted this, it would have been Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But he said to them, he said, indeed you are lying. You have made up the story. Look at the reaction of Abu Bakr. He said, you guys just made the story up. This shows you how overwhelming the actual news was to him. He said, he didn't say that. You guys are just inventing this to make us think something bad about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, wallahi, no. He said it. Then Abu Bakr, he said to them, wallahi, la'in kana qalahu, laqad sadaqa. He said, wallahi, if he said it, I believe in him. If he said it, I believe in him. SubhanAllah, is putting on hijab more difficult rationally than this? As a brother coming to the masjid and praying and being good to my wife and my kids and my place of work, more irrational than this? Of course not. But look at the statement of Abu Bakr. Wallahi in kana qalahu laqad saraqa. If he said it, he's speaking the truth. Then Abu Bakr, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fatabayyanu. To make sure. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he asked him, they're saying that you said this. And he didn't say it like they're saying that you said this. He was like, they're saying that you said this, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, this happened to me. And then he began to describe this night in detail to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu in front of everyone. Because sometimes the issue of pride, sometimes the issue of what others are going to think about us, causes us to swerve from what's right. That's why the first time when you want to do something, shaitan will not come to you and say, what will you think about it? He will say, what will others think about it? So Abu Bakr is in front of all the people, and the Prophet is describing this night to him, detail by detail by detail. And every time he would explain an aspect of that night, he would say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Every time the Prophet would say, okay, then I got on this animal type creature, he would say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Then he would say, then this creature flew me to Palestine. Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. Then he would say, there I prayed in front of the prophets. Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. Every time the prophet would say something, he would say, I bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah. I bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah. I bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah. What about you and me? We read in the Quran, we read in the Hadith, when are we going to say, Nashhadu annaka Rasulullah? What are we going to say? We bear witness you are the messenger of Allah. And the way to bear witness is to submit to Him. And to submit to His teachings. And submit to the words of Allah. Being truthful. And he kept saying it. Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. And this kuffar that was all around him. Just like you, sister, when it's your job, you're surrounded by people. What's that on your head, girl? Why are you wearing that? Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. The brother goes to the masjid. Why are you going to the masjid, baby? Don't leave me in the morning. It's scary in here. Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. Brother starts to grow a beard. Girls aren't going to look at me. That's the point, man. You want no girls to look at you, so grow a beard. Then we got some brother that going to get this little snake beard. At least I got a beard. I'll still be fine. Right? Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. So when people make fun of us, when people attack us, when we see things happen around us, we should be like Abu Bakr. Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. I bear witness to you are the messenger of Allah. So the Prophet described the whole night in front of all these people. And Abu Bakr kept saying, Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. I bear witness to you are the messenger of Allah. I bear witness to you are the messenger of Allah. I bear witness to you are the messenger of Allah. I bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah. I bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah. I bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Wa anta ya Abu Bakr as-Siddiq." And so the Prophet, he finished, and he said, "Indeed, O Abu Bakr." And from that point on, we gave Abu Bakr the name of Siddiq. "Indeed, O Abu Bakr, you are the truthful one." What about us? When can we fall into this definition of a follower of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Shall we finish only the 6th verse, and we ran out of time? So next week we have to continue from the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th, and the 10th, and the 11th. So next week we have a lot, and there'll be a lot more stories, inshallah. But today, just to remind our brothers and sisters, that this verse is talking about verification of information. That we should verify the information of people, especially the fasiq, the one who's a wrongdoer, when we get it. This involves the news and the media now. And secondly, when we deal with people that we believe, like your kids, if your kid comes home and says, "Dad, I was playing basketball," say, "Well, I heard Brother Suhaib say if a fasiq comes at home." Don't do that to your kids, man. Give the benefit of the doubt. You can take his information, or your wife, or your daughter, or your husband. And the last thing we talked about the science of truthfulness. And also we talked about this great story of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. How we were struggling to obey Allah, no doubt. But how we have to, if we truly believe that the personality and behavior of someone makes them the truthful one, then we have to believe and trust in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reminders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the statements of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu about the Prophet ﷺ really should cause our heart to shake. But jazakallahu khairan, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the siddiqeen, insha'Allah. Subhanaka wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.